Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day.
Hello. Today I would like to talk about obsession and how to deal with them. Have you guys ever had like a stalker or someone that you impacted their lives to where they had a hard time letting go? I've only had roughly two incidents like this, or three, or I know somebody who's had like a stalker, and like, let me explain. So one of my close friends, we all were a group, and she introduced me to this girl for the summer because she was like, I'm leaving and you guys would hit it off great. Well, me and the girl, like, we became friends, but the friendship was weird because I was there for her. I was more open to her. And she was like, because I was chunky then, she basically used me as someone to talk to. But anytime I was around people, they would be like, oh, she's fat. Like, make fat shaming jokes about me. And my confidence was already low at that point. So it was like even 10 times worse that she would do that. So it just became like a struggle. And like, I would go spend the night, but then it ended up turning out to where she slowly moved me in. Like, she unpacked my bag and she was like, my mom said you can stay here. Da, da, da. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't say that I wanted to stay. Like, I never said that. I get off of work and I come chill here, but then I expected to go home. And, you know, short story, it's basically her sister's significant other fell for my best friend. And it was a whole debacle, like, seriously. But after a while, my best friend's partner now, well, not now, but at that time, we became real cool. Like, it was just like, we all were friends. She made it seem like her ex was a stalker. Like, I remember one time she went into Walmart and she came back and there were like Taco Bell sauces in a heart saying, will you marry me or I love you? Because you know, Taco Bell has those things where they'll have messages on the package of sauce. Well, on the package of sauce, she found the correct ones and put a heart over her windshield. I was like, honey, this is weird. Or like, we would go out into certain places and she would just magically appear, or she would get text messages. And like, and you know, me and my best friend, we didn't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, she needs to let it go and blah, blah, blah. But as later on, I got to sit down with her partner and, you know, we were drunk. And one thing her partner told me was, I love that girl. You know, I had spent years invested in that person. Like, it was like we were married. And I can understand why she's having a hard time to let it go. Because previously, when I had enough of her or she had enough for me, we would date other people. But we always went back to each other. And when you have that constant pattern with someone, you're like, you know, seriously, can I get over this person? Not really. Sorry, I'm cooking too, y'all. Cooking in the kitchen. How can you really get over somebody? How can you really say, you know, I'm done with that person, when you invested so many years and then you have this constant pattern over and over that y'all can't get enough of each other? And like, I was drunk at the time and I was like, you know, you're drinking too much. But as I got older, I realized that that's true. You know, I'm not saying all stalkers or people who are enticed or, you know, there are some people who are just crazy obsessed with you, you know, like crazy obsessed. But then there are times when there are people who are being led on and on. And, you know, I remember at one point I had a semi-stalker and we didn't have many years, but we basically talked often. Like, that was my friend. And so when they started, like, popping up places I was or sending me weird presents of, like, hearts, it freaked me out. But then one thing my brother did say is that sometimes people will be so infatuated with you, so overwhelmed by what they truly see in you, that they can become obsessed. So there's two ways you can deal with. You can be honest with them and say, hey, that this is not for me and you wish they could stop. But sometimes, you know, you're telling somebody that they're like, oh, you know, she's just in denial. But then also you have to place yourself in their shoes, because I've been like head over heels for somebody and I couldn't let them go, to where like I missed them, to where I wanted it back. And I think the hardest thing with relationships or even friendships is that we haven't processed the true steps of letting go. And I'm taking a deep breath because that's my point. We really don't understand how to let go. And it could be the hardest thing you've ever done. And for me, when I was placed in a position where I wish that person would let it go, I just didn't know what I could do to make them see. And then I started to become ugly. Like, I'm like, you know, saying all kind of stuff and, you know, pushing them out there and making them seem like a horrible person. Like, it's all your fault anyway. We're not together. Not realizing that this person is trying to heal with letting me go. And then I understood that after I had a heart, you know, my heartbreak, and I had a hard time letting go of somebody. And I had invested, you know, some time with this person, and well, so much time and memories and family. And my mom said one important thing to me. It's okay to speak to people. It is. It's okay to talk to, you know, his family. It's fine. But you need to draw a line for yourself. You need to have a barrier to protect your feelings and theirs. And then you also have to respect that you must let it go, not just for you, but for them. And I think that with my mom saying that, it had me sit back to realize, like, the reason why we broke up was because they did not want me. And that could be a hard pill to swallow. So anybody who's obsessed with you, they have to realize the one key factor is that this person, you know, even if it was accidental, when they say the words, I wish you the best and I don't want to be with you, that's a hard pill to swallow. But then that's something you have to be willing to accept, no matter how much desire and love you have for somebody. If somebody does not want to be with you, that is the first step of letting them go. It's the first sign of letting them go, is hearing them tell you, or not even hearing them tell you, a huge traumatic heartbreak making you realize that this person, they cared for you or whatever, but they don't even want to apologize and they're moving on. So basically what they're telling you is that they did not choose you. And, you know, I always say we always want to be accepted. We always want to be understood. So for the first time when you were invested in someone and crafted in someone, it's a hard pill to swallow that they don't understand you. And they don't accept you. And they don't want to spend
their life with you. That's hard. And that's hard to be able to hear that or accept that and move on. That's hard. So yeah, you'll get someone who's obsessed. And like I said, I'm not making excuses for people who do crazy things and become obsessed with somebody. I'm not. But I'm trying to get you to understand the process. So if you're that person who has been told that and who's been hurt, or the person doesn't want to be with you, the first step of actually processing this is to acknowledge that they did not choose you, but that someone is out there for you who is willing to give up everything to be with you. See, the mentality of obsession to me is not being able to let go, but not realizing that that person is replaceable. I'm not saying their character is replaceable or you'll find someone like a twin exactly like them, but you'll be able to find someone exactly meant for you. And you know what's crazy? When you're overwhelmed with love, you start to come up with these scenarios. There's nobody's gonna love me like them. And well, if that's the case, you don't want someone who loved you like your past. And that for my peace of mind, I remember distinctively when I had my breakup and I just couldn't understand the let go. But I remember one thing he told me, and it was, nobody is going to love you like I love you. And I remember him like grabbing me, shaking me, and telling me that in my face. And when he said it at the time, I'm like, oh, but now after the huge breakup and all the heartache and the betrayal, I start to see that I never want to be loved like that ever again. And that was step two of letting go. The first one was actually hearing that person tell me that, you know, it's over. That was hard. Second was to understand that while you're in a relationship, everything is perfect. That person is meant for you. That's your soulmate. Y'all gonna be together for the rest of your life. But when the dust clears, you start to reevaluate that relationship. You start to reevaluate those conversations and realize that that person really was not for you. And I know the saying, if you let it go, it comes back. Yes. But until that point, if that is the person that's supposed to come back to you, you still need to understand that that's not a person you would, at that point in time in their lives, was not meant to love you. You got to accept that. Because either that person hasn't grown to its full potential to come back to you, or they were never meant to be with you. That's step two. And then three, I find healing is important. Because healing is acknowledgement. The first stage is, so that first one or two stages is acknowledging that this is over. And then two is healing from that, accepting it is what it is. And that's a hard pill to swallow, especially for someone so devoted to you. So, you know, if you get somebody hiding in the bushes, they're healing.
No, I'm playing. I'm just playing.
But If you're the person who is hiding in the bushes and you've acknowledged it, but it's just, it hurts. It hurts so bad. I want you to go to your next phase, and that is forgiveness. A lot of times people have a hard time to forgive. You know, like, they're like, I don't want to forgive that person. They didn't even say they were sorry, which is true. Sometimes you are not going to get, honey, an apology when you want it. That person probably not even going to apologize until you done married. You done went to the class reunion, married, and moved on. You know what I'm saying? Like, apologies come when that person is really ready and committed to doing so. But if they're not, like, come on, man. Like, seriously. When When do you think this person is going to apologize? On your time? No, they're going to do it when they want to. But to accept an apology when it's not given is forgiveness. Because you're no longer doing it for them. And that's what people, that's what people forget. If you don't choose to forgive a person, you harbor that and you carry a suitcase, a trunk, and a vehicle and a house on your back. From all that guilt, all that, you know, basically harboring those emotions towards this person because you won't let it go. You haven't accepted that that is not for you. You haven't accepted the fact that this person has moved on. And you are just feeling the guilt with all the horrible things that happened into that relationship instead of healing and embracing forgiveness from them, even when they haven't given it to you. Not for them. That's what you got to understand. This is all for you. You know, a lot of times people carry on baggage and baggage from not forgiving somebody, and you end up changing your persona. You end up changing who you are because you are so angry and not willing to accept forgiveness that you carry that out through your entire life. Your demeanor changes, your personality changes, how you interact with people changes. You guard yourself so much because you don't want to let nobody in. But that's all because you haven't accepted forgiveness, even when it wasn't said to you. I'm sorry. You have to do it, not for them, but for you. Forgiveness is important. And then after you pass that stage of willing to accept what has happened, willing to embrace this new change and everything, you're ready for the next phase. And that phase is, okay, you've accepted forgiveness, you let it go, you know it's not going to happen with this person. I feel like healing is moving forward. I'm not saying erase that person out of your memory because, you know, I remember the good times about my ex. You know, the friendship that we placed upon each other. And at the time, whether I realized it or not, I needed somebody to be my friend. So I embraced that. I embraced the fact that at the time, you know, he was substantial to my life. That was a lesson I needed to learn. That was something I needed to accept within myself and learn about myself and move forth. That's when you can look back and say, hey, it's okay. I don't want you to reminisce over your past every day. No. Don't do that. I want you to get to a place of healing to where you're not crying anymore when you think about that person. You smile and say, hey, it is what it is. It's coming to a point where you wish no ill upon that person. Because, you know, when you break up or whatever, when y'all disperse, you angry as hell. You want to hurt that person. Like, you really want to take that round or get that person jumped or, you know, pistol whip you know, I don't know how y'all roll, but you know, you're really angry. You're super, super angry at the person. You're super, super aggressive. But after you've gone through all those stages of letting go and processing properly, you're able to feel cleansed, honestly. You're cleansing yourself, you're cleansing your soul, you're cleansing your heart so that your blessing, the right person, should come to you. Healing is all about repairing a wound, a flesh wound that happens